So we are going to be in Mark 14 this morning. And there's a couple of things I just want to make you aware as we look in these verses. Because I think you can look at this text and kind of come up with two different places where people are at in this text if you don't know how the story ends. If you just read this for what it is right here, you could see the disciples, and especially Peter, but really all of them, being quite arrogant in their abilities to not betray Jesus. And if you read further along, you see they, especially Peter, betrays Jesus. You could also see Jesus here, if you didn't know how the story ends, as a kind of glass half empty kind of guy. Kind of the guy that when somebody doesn't attend a meeting, like it's 10 minutes and they haven't shown up to the meeting yet, they have this attitude. Oh, they're not going to show up. And then 13 minutes later, you know, at minute 13, they walk in the door, right? It's kind of, you could see that, but really that's not where we're at, because Jesus is right about the whole thing. And here's what it says, just a few pieces of this. Jesus is telling them, you're all going to fall away. Peter says, even though they will fall away, I will not. I refuse to, I deny that I will deny you. And then Jesus, or they say also, Peter says, emphatically it says, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And have you ever noticed this? It says, all the disciples, they all said the same. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word to Mark 14 today, Father, we pray that you would give us the faith and the strength and the wherewithal to never deny you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No matter what we encounter in our lives, that you would help us to be bold in stating who you are and whose we are. Holy Spirit, give us faith today. Give us strength. Work in us in an amazing way through your word. It's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So let's start with Peter in Mark 14 right here. He has a lot of self-confidence. And we see this not just in this text, but in other places of Scripture. He thinks he is all that and a bag of chips. He really is arrogant and confident. I'm never going to deny you. If I have to die with you. And then he, notice how he kind of throws the other disciples out. Like, they may deny you, but I will not. Just think about this. He's been with these other disciples for 3 years. He knows them. He knows how they work. He knows if they're negative or positive with their attitudes. He knows everything about them, and they know everything about him. Why? They've been living life together for 3 solid years with Jesus. And just like that, he goes, they may have some issues that keep them, that allow them to deny you, but I'm all good. I will not deny you, Jesus. Which we know what happens. He denies them, right? But he has a lot of confidence right here. And so do the others. They all say, we will never deny you. If we have to die with you, we will not deny you. They have all this confident boasting. And then about 12 hours later, the disciples forsook the Lord. They all fled. Peter betrays him. They all run away. Their loud professions are all forgotten. The danger that they felt or that they thought was about to come upon them took precedent. And this isn't something that we need to go and just judge them and go, oh, see, you guys blew it. We would have got it right. See, we start taking Peter's role like, well, they blew it, but not I, Lord. Well, do you know that right away? I mean, it depends. Until we're in that situation, we don't know how we would respond. Now, I don't know about you, but I always, whenever I read these things, I go, Lord, would you give me strength if I encounter a situation where I have an opportunity to betray you? Would you, through the Holy Spirit, work in my heart and mind and give me the strength to do the opposite, to not betray you, but to praise you, to boldly confess that you're Savior and Lord? And I pray that if any of us were put in that position, Jesus would do just that through the Holy Spirit. He would give us the strength to do that. Well, what happens next here? Peter's got this kind of optimism that comes from this overestimating his own strength. And if you're maybe older, if you've had a chronic illness, you understand where Peter's coming from. Because at the start of the day, you're sure you can take on the world. Just like you've done before. I mean, you have 10 things on your list that you got to get done, and you plan on getting them all done. But by the time dinner rolls around, you look at your list and you see you've just checked off 3 of them and you had to take a nap to do that. You see, we can think, oh, we can do this. See, Peter wanted to rise above the word of God, speaking about the plan of God and the failure of his disciples. It seems so obvious. It seems so simple. And maybe for Peter, he was just, well, they're just not going to try hard enough, or they just lack the conviction that I do. But Jesus is quoting in verse 27, the prophet Zechariah of the Old Testament lesson that we had today. Zechariah 13:7, where he's saying, I will strike the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. That you will all fall away. That's all from Zechariah. That's really a big tide that you think that you could stand against. Because it happened just as the Lord said it would. And also, as Peter is denying Jesus, as he would do later, this is the foretelling, but as he would do later, it's a little bit of a shameful situation. He's strong, saying, I will not deny you. And then, who comes up against Peter where he makes his denial? It's not a king coming to Peter going, were you with Jesus? You're one of his disciples, aren't you? It's not a king. It's not a soldier who sticks a knife in Peter's face and goes, were you with Jesus? Are you one of them disciples that you were with Jesus? It's a servant girl. Now, it's her position that's the issue, not the fact that she's a young lady or anything like that. It's the fact that she had no authority over Peter. If Peter said, yeah, I was with him, I am a disciple, at that time, in that culture, chances are the people around that area are not going to believe what a lowly servant girl would say. Oh, okay, yeah, he said, all right, whatever. And yet, that's who Peter denies Jesus to. While Jesus is in the court, confessing under oath that he's Christ, the Son of God, Peter's outside, taking an oath on the lie that he does not know Jesus. And friends, this simply just goes on to show that it's easier to sit in a comfortable pew with other followers of Jesus Christ and seeing onward Christian soldiers marching off to war than it is to actually live it. Because the reality is I think we're a lot like the disciples. When the going gets tough, we get going. And it may be intentional, it may be unintentional that we make other idols and we worship and we betray God because we worship other idols, other people, other things. And it may be intentional or unintentional, but it still happens. And we deny Jesus in numerous ways. We deny him by failing to speak about him when it could save someone's soul. When we know someone doesn't know Jesus, we just go, maybe somebody else should share the gospel with them. I'm a little uncomfortable doing this. What are they going to think about me? What are they going to say? I mean, I'm at work. I can't do this. Like, what are they going to do? What's going to happen? Or when someone says to us, hey, the God you worship and the God I worship, they're one and the same, aren't they? And you know that they don't worship the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but you don't really say anything because you don't know what happened to that relationship. You don't want to ruin that relationship. And so you just don't say anything. Oh, and that's what we do. See, maybe you're worried about being canceled. Like if you say something or you do so, you profess Jesus as Savior, that something's going to happen to you. Well, today, you have a really good example of five instances where people are standing up boldly to confess that Jesus is Savior. And they're sitting right in your midst, right in front of you, right here. These young men and women are boldly standing up, and they're saying, I believe in Jesus as Savior. And there's a phrase, a question I will ask them that basically says, do you commit to standing on your faith in Jesus even upon death? And they say, yes, by the grace of God. And I hope you didn't forget that if you ever have been confirmed, you've said the same thing. You say, I will boldly confess Jesus as Savior, no matter what the cost. Friends, the Apostle Paul states, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's right there in the Bible, 2 Timothy 3. If you and I think that following Jesus is going to be a popular thing in this world, you're sadly mistaken. But you know, that's okay. Because who can save you outside of Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? You can try to find anybody or anything else to save you, and it's not going to work. Only Jesus gives you hope and mercy and forgiveness and grace. He doesn't cancel you, he cancels your sins. And he's the only one who can do that. And young men and women, y'all know that. And I pray that you will boldly stand up for your faith, no matter what the cost, throughout the rest of your life. Remember today where you stand up and you say, I believe in Jesus, my Savior. Because nobody can take that away from you, no matter what happens. Same thing for us. Here's the other beautiful thing about this text. Even though Jesus knew the disciples he chose would fail miserably and deny him, they still chose him. He still chose them. Do you see that? Like, he still picked those 12 guys, even though he knew they're going to really fail miserably on the last year of my ministry, last week of my ministry. Yet, he granted them the privilege of being continually with him, hearing his voice, even though they had a lack of faith. This is a remarkable fact, and it deserves to be held in continual remembrance for you and me. We really need to remember that Jesus loves them in spite of themselves, because he loves you in the same way. We take comfort in the thought that the Lord Jesus does not cast off his believing people because of failures and imperfections. The reality is, if he did, we would have been cast off a long, long time ago. But thanks be to God, he loves us with an everlasting love, with a hope that's secure. Jesus takes the disciples and takes you and I like a husband takes his wife, like a wife takes her husband. With all the blemishes and defects, once joined to him by faith, he never leaves. He's merciful and compassionate, and he covers our sins through his life and his death and his resurrection we're going to celebrate next Sunday. See, he knew what the disciples were before conversion. They were wicked, they were guilty, they were defiled. And he knew what they were after conversion, weak, erring, and frail. Yet he loves them, and he saved them. And he loves you, and he saves you. So with these verses, we get a beautiful picture. And then we also get another beautiful picture that we may miss whenever we read this section of Scripture, where Jesus speaks plainly of his resurrection in verse 28. After I'm raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. All the betrayal gets in the way of this. And if you really think about it, the disciples missed this sentence in this text as well. They failed to see it. They didn't treasure them up in their hearts, because why? When Jesus was betrayed, they forsook him. When he was crucified, they were in despair and they fled. They didn't sit there and go, oh, you know what? Didn't he tell us numerous times that he was going to be resurrected from the dead? We're going to sit here and wait with the expectation. We know it's happening. We're going to wait. They didn't do that. When he rose again on the third day, they were in hiding. They had trouble believing that it would be true. Thomas, specifically. These words of Jesus never made an impression on our hearts. And this is a beautiful picture of what human nature looks like. Because how many times have you read the Word of God? Like, you could read the same sentence like 10 and 15 times, and then you're in a Bible study or you're in a conversation with a friend, or Pastor Rich is sharing some wisdom from a sermon, and you start going, wait, has that been there the whole time in the Word of God? Is this a different version? What's happened? That was there? That's weird. Have you ever done that? Now, on one hand, it may be because we just overlooked it. On the other hand, it could be because the Holy Spirit reveals to us what that text is actually saying in that time that we need it. A lot of times, I think, though, we just overlook what God's Word says. And so when days of darkness and affliction come upon us, sometimes we find ourselves unprepared. But then seasons come, challenge and difficulty. And maybe we're ashamed that because now we have eyes to see that text, and we're afraid and ashamed that we didn't see it before. You see, it didn't make an impression on us earlier, but now it does. So may we pray for a quick understanding, and as we hear and read God's Word, as we meditate on God's Word, let us search for the precious truth that's found in it. so that we have a good foundation that when the time comes, we can be found armed with the Word of God. Also, we see that we need to pray for humility, for a humble spirit. We don't need to pray for confidence in where we look like Peter, the disciples in this text. No, may we be humble but confident in the hope and the promises that Jesus gives us. Be confident not in yourself, but in Jesus and his word and his promises. Knowing that he loves you with an everlasting love, knowing that he never leaves nor forsakes you, and knowing that at that last day, Jesus is coming back to redeem and restore this world once and for all, because he is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's your King, and he's your Lord, and he's your Savior, because of his love and his grace that he's given you through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection. Amen. Amen.